really have. The rise and fall of cryptocurrencies has led to a surge in scams, and we saw a consultation paper released by the SARB and other regulators in January seeming to point to the direction of the regulatory environment, or point to the direction, and it looks to be fairly robust for crypto assets, and we've seen warnings for years about the risks associated with electronically issued tokens. Well, Bridget King, director of the banking practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, joins us now. Bridget, great to chat to you.
Hello, Mike.
How are you keeping?
Well, thanks.
Good, good. I hope you haven't been scammed by buying any SAF coin or anything. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Right. Bridget, crypto scams, they really have caught quite a few people. And the regard was really about the lack of a specific legal framework that really regulates crypto assets. So it's something of a Wild West scenario out there. And we had the SARB, well, it was about 4 or 5 years ago, saying that we need to do something. Now, finally, 4 or 5 years later, we have these firm policy proposals by an intergovernmental fintech working group. Broadly, what sort of regulatory approach is the working group taking?
So finally we do have something concrete. Like you said, we've had press releases and media statements in the past, but this is the first time we're seeing talk of an approach that can be adopted. It's light touch in the sense that there's no proposal for an outright ban of the purchase and use and trading of crypto assets like Bitcoin and the other ones. So that's certainly not their intention at this stage. But they've got some firm proposals that if you're going to be a crypto asset service provider, you need to register at a central point. They'd originally proposed that registration must start happening from the first quarter of 2019. Given where we are in 2019 already, that seems unlikely.
Yeah, but, impossible.
The idea there is to capture anybody who's providing a platform, is acting as a custodian of crypto assets, operating a payment system with crypto assets, the vending machines, all of that sort of thing they've proposed should be registered.
And how have crypto assets been defined?
It's basically a store of value, so it's any asset that represents value, and it's electronically tokenized, as you mentioned before, and it's a medium of exchange. It can be swapped between people.
So if it's a medium of exchange, I know for tax purposes the SARB was always hesitant to classify it as a medium of exchange. They called it a store of value, but perhaps not a medium of exchange for currency purposes. Does that mean we might be heading out into that terrain now?
Well, what we've always had is, even if you were trading Bitcoin, your income and your earnings were still subject to the usual exchange control investment allowances to the extent that you were going offshore, and you were obliged to pay your normal tax. But given the crypto nature of the assets and the anonymity, it's quite easy to sort of circumvent tax laws and circumvent exchange controls in the unregulated space at the moment.
Well, that's my next question, and you've really segued quite nicely into it, Bridget, because the regulators also point out that one of the reasons why crypto assets are difficult to regulate is because they operate on a global level, and many anonymously. They don't fit neatly within this kind of defined economic function. So how can we hope to regulate them in the confines of South African law if they operate in a borderless manner, so to speak?
Yeah, I think it's just to respond to the anonymous element of crypto assets. The regulators have proposed that there still be a seeker process when you buy your crypto assets. So they want the platform providers and the other crypto service providers to at least identify the clients that are opening their accounts and wallets, verify that identity, and then they want to impose the requirement that the crypto asset service provider will keep reporting suspicious and unusual transactions and cash transactions over 25,000 and doing all of the other seeker, know your client steps that any other financial services provider would need to.
And that all then falls in within this proposal for registration. What will that registration entail, and what is it hoped that this might achieve? Are they trying to bring in greater reporting, obviously greater transparency by knowing who's doing what out there, but what is the overarching aim of the registration?
So we're still waiting for the policy paper to come through, but what we are hoping, and I suppose it protects consumers a bit better, is that the registration then forms the basis for some kind of authorization process. So can applicants submit their financial soundness? Have they met certain proper requirements? Will there be conduct standards for their contact with clients going forward? So that certainly is one of the hopes that we're hoping to see from a consumer's perspective. The trade reporting, the regulators have made it clear in the consultation paper, and obviously this is all draft, that they want to be able to monitor the volumes of trades from fiat into crypto into fiat, how many South Africans are using crypto, how many merchants accept it, the volume, the size of the market, all of that stuff. So again, like you said, to just try and give them some transparency into the crypto market.
And if you were to be advising clients that you might have in the crypto space, so-called crypto asset service providers, in the space where we don't have the detail of the policy just yet, and we've got this desire to at least register, what's the way forward? What should they be doing? Just looking at the existing sort of FICA regulation, saying, well, at least if we comply with that and KYC, we should be on the right side.
And I think a lot of crypto platforms are already doing FICA and have already been doing FICA even before the consultation paper came out. But I think they'll actually feel more comfortable with the registration procedure because it will give their clients a sense of assurance that they can at least hold themselves out as a registered crypto asset service provider. So it sort of lends credibility to their business and their operations.
Bridget King, I've got to thank you and stop you there as we've run out of time. Director in the Finance and Banking Practice at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr on how we might see crypto asset regulation unfold in South Africa.